Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And here we go with the NBA champion, Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst, Eddie. Let's get right to it since we're a little late.
What up, Eddie?
We believe you picked Miami to win, right?
I did.
I thought, look, there were others that picked them. I didn't feel there was a real basketball reason to pick them. I feel like it was just kind of they had this momentum. They were beating teams that were more talented.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought it would continue to work. Are you surprised at how, I mean, they obviously went out pretty quickly in five games. You surprised at the way Denver just took them down?
No, I'm not after watching Denver in the postseason. So to be transparent, I really didn't get a chance to see them in the regular season that much, doing my own work, but then also they weren't getting that much TV time.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is I watched every game that they played. I watch every game in these playoffs. I watch every game that they play in this playoffs, and I see the reason why they are who they are. And right before the end of the season, remember Mike Malone called out the team and said they're soft. You know, they went on like a four-game losing streak or something like that.
Right. They came into the playoffs a little raggedy.
And Jokic just sat for a little while too, but yeah. Yep.
But he called them guys out, and they responded. Same thing he did in game two. He calls them out, they responded. So that means that he has the locker room. They believe in him. And then they have the Jokic, and let's not forget about what Jamal Murray has done for this team. Coming back for everything that he's done, he's a bucket getter. But Jokic is just something different. Like, for me, I was one of those like, yeah, you keep talking about all these, no, okay. Well, I see it. I see it. And there's nothing that nobody can do about what he does out there on the basketball court, especially the way that team is constructed. So, I mean, let's just give all credit to the Denver Nuggets, their coaching staff, the organization for building it from the ground up. And not too many teams do that, so salute to them for that.
And you also, Eddie, you know, you were right. A lot of people didn't watch them. I gave them the nickname the Chicken Nuggets. Chris was skeptical from the standpoint of, I'll believe it when I see it.
Every Western – well, not the first round, but –
But you know Phoenix what I mean, right? Yeah, I believe it when I see it that they're going to win a championship or whatever. But they were a good team all year. There's something about that. They finally stayed healthy, Eddie, and they followed through. If you really look at them, they really didn't, other than the little bumpy ending to the season, they were pretty good the entire way, or pretty damn good. So I think that maybe people slept on him a little bit. And I think when you talk about Jokic, should people now, I think that now that they've seen him win and win big and do stuff that people have never done, just like drop this whole idea that he's not that good or he's just a stat stuffer.
Oh, well, they got to get that out the window because it's hard to stuff stats anyway. I don't care what you're talking about. Go try to stuff some stats at the rec center and see that you come up short of getting a triple-double or averaging a triple-double on the day. But I think that it does dismiss that. And I think a lot of people, you know, especially it's the East Coast bias because one thing, East Coast not going to watch a lot of West Coast basketball because it comes on too late. By the time first quarter, second quarter started, everybody's going to sleep. But I think what it did was just raise awareness to this guy is a hooper. He's a straight-up baller. And the one thing that I love about it, he likes to see his teammates get off. He helps it. He plays the game the right way. And he's nothing about him is flashy except the end result, his numbers and getting wins. And you're right about one thing. Is that all year long they were the best team. You know, I would say they were the team that led their conference, right? Because all year long we would say either Milwaukee or we were discrediting Denver, who had held the number one all year long, and we would say it was either Milwaukee or it was either the Celtics, right? And so you got to give credit to the Denver Nuggets for holding it down, and it's not a mistake. Usually when teams have a long run like that during the regular season, if they don't burn out, you know, because they push so hard to get that number one seed, if they just play it, they usually are right there in the mix, and you got to give them credit. So I have nothing but respect for everything that the Denver Nuggets have done and for all the guys that stepped up. You talk about Christian Brown had a game. You talk about Bruce Brown had a game. Aaron Gordon, there was an Aaron Gordon game in there. Michael Porter Jr. didn't shoot the three well. But he still was able to be super effective in many different ways, and we know what the Stars do. So, yeah,
Eddie,
to them, man.
You won a championship with Boston in the Big Three in 2008, and then you were on that team the next year. We heard Michael Malone talking about repeating. He even went as far as to say dynasty. How hard is it to repeat?
Well, health is the number one because I fully believe that if KG doesn't get hurt early in the season, that we go back-to-back. But KG got hurt, and, we were scrambling at that point, just trying to make ends meet. And we still were good and still was able to get to the semis, but we weren't the same team without KG. But it also depends on health. And if they are able to and also free agency, you know, guys going and the team changing. If you keep that same team, the core of that team, they're going to be a problem again as long as they are healthy next year. I mean, I just see that they get better. And then they understand also that they have become the hunted and not the hunter. So those are the two different pendulums, right? On one side of the scale, you look at it and say, man, we were trying to get something. Now everybody's trying to get you. And so it's a different mindset night in and night out in the regular season and definitely in the postseason. But well, what they got, the way they're constructed, the way they listen to their coach and the way they believe in everything and who they have as the star on their team and the second guy and the third guy, I think they can continue to, as long as they're healthy, man, they'll make a lot of noise.
Hey, Eddie.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
I've got Jokic seventh all time among centers. Behind Kareem, Russell, Shaq, Wilt, Olajuwon, and Moses Malone, and ahead of David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, and George Mikan. Any problems with that?
I might put him in front of Moses Malone. With that being said, just the way that he could go about his business, Moses was a beast, obviously.
Right.
You know, what he was able to do on the glass and, you know, be able to finish around there. But I think what you look at all the other things that Jokic could do, maybe he's not a great defender, but he's a much better passer. He has, I feel, a better feel for the game than Moses does because not only for this reason. Moses was stuck on the block. Somebody had to give him the ball for him to go to work and beat. Well, Jokic can get the ball off the rim and push a fast break. We've seen him do that plenty of times. And set up not only for himself but set up other guys. So I might well put him ahead of there. I wasn't prepared for that question. So if I was prepared for that, I would really do some deep diving in that. But what your list sounds solid. But I would have to have him for just as of right now, because you look at the credentials and what's going on. You say championship is where it starts, and then you're going to look at longevity. Jokic ain't there yet, but what he's been doing, he has two MVPs, and I think that I will have to put him in front of Moses on that one. Just a quick thought.
All right. That is our man, Eddie House. We appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Right on, man. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest, former NFL wide receiver, now lead NFL analyst for VSiN. We welcome in Mike Pritchard. Mike, how are you?
Chris, Rob, I'm fantastic. How y'all doing?
We are great, man. Great to have you on. And let's talk about some of your brethren, some wide receivers. Yeah. It's baffling what's going on in Buffalo. Stephon Diggs shows up to camp, and he's there, but he doesn't practice yesterday. Sean McDermott, the head coach, says he's very concerned. Today, Diggs practices. McDermott says he gave him to yesterday off. Like, it's just all kind of convoluted. And what do you think is going on there? And is this something that is serious and Buffalo fans should be concerned about?
Well, I think, Chris, you're going to keep an eye on it for sure. I mean, one, McDermott has a weak locker room, in my opinion. There's too much drama up there for Buffalo. But Buffalo's been too good for too long to have this kind of drama right now, especially from Diggs. You know? So to me, you know, Frazier is taking some time away, too. I just feel like McDermott does not have a grasp on that locker room. He doesn't have control over that thing. And I know about receivers. You know, I was one. You know, you always want the money. You always want to think that you're playing better than your contract. I get it. But he just signed a contract, and he is playing very good football right now. But the time will come for him to get upstairs and renegotiate. I mean, everybody knows when that time will come. I don't know if it's now.
He's got 4 years left? He's like the third highest paid receiver. He shouldn't be worried about money at this point.
No, not at all. That's why, to me, it speaks towards a weak locker room in terms of the head coach having control over that thing. And it shows up in the playoffs, too, right? There's no toughness with Buffalo. There's no killer instinct with that team when they get to the playoffs. Like, they can get through the regular season. They can put up numbers. They can look great, look like they're a Super Bowl contender. But when they get to the playoffs, teams are tougher than them. They fold up. So I think it speaks to McDermott and making excuses for everything as opposed to just saying, look, I'm the head coach of this team and I have authority here and I'm going to assert that. You know, I think if he can do that, I think Buffalo will be in a better place.
Let's go to DeAndre Hopkins, who made out a wish list that he's had to rip up since because it doesn't look like he's going to go to any of those. But anyway, he's scraping the bottom of the barrel with the Patriots and Mac Jones. What do you make of that, and why has no one snapped up?
And Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee.
Yeah, Tannehill. Why has no one snapped him up at this point? He had a good
year
this year.
I think these owners, for one, and I'll give them credit. I mean, I don't know if they discovered this on purpose or by accident, but they have found a way to publicly devalue players, right? I mean, think about Lamar Jackson, all these others. Oh, I don't want him. Oh, I don't want him on my team. You know, all this stuff. And, okay, Lamar goes back to Baltimore, and we get that. Now he gets the same kind of contract that he probably was going to get in the first place, which it works out. You think about, you know, the running back situation. All of these guys were tagged, right? We don't want the top running backs to test the market because that's going to reset the market, right? And you know, it's funny. It is fascinating to me how these owners know this stuff. And it doesn't really matter the player. And the same thing for DeAndre Hopkins. What's the first thing you heard from the top teams? Well, we like to have them, but no, we really don't. We're not interested in. You're interested in a Hall of Fame receiver. Don't give us that. But you're not interested in paying him a lot of money. You're not interested in paying him what D-Hop believes that he's worth. So they publicly devalued him. And now you're right. Now it's Tennessee and it's New England. And I don't even know if Deshaun Watson in Cleveland can get something going. But he's a top player. I still think he's a high number two, really good complement to a really strong number one receiver or on a bad team or a team that's desperate, which would be New England, which would be Tennessee, he obviously would be a number one wide receiver. So continuing his path, perhaps to the Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, you're my age, our age. Well, not Rob. Yep. Rob's a little
What are you
older,
talking about, Chris? Older, you act like I'm 20 years older than you. What? Unbelievable.
No, I'm just kidding. We all remember, though, I mean, the running back was the key position in the league. And now you brought it up, and you're right. They have devalued that position so much. Jonathan Taylor now is talking about, man, I don't know what's going on with the running back position, and they just don't seem to value us. They franchise tag Pollard and Jacobs and Saquon Barkley. And I got to be – what is the answer for the running backs? Because if I'm an owner, I'm doing what they're doing if I'm an owner. But it's not fair for the running backs. And I just don't, I mean, I don't think they should like be under the same timeline as the rest of the league's players because a running back's, you know, his window for his prime is like that first 7 years. In most cases, he could not never even hit free agency by that point. So I doubt they just do it for the running backs. But what could they do to get these running backs out of such a tough position? Or is it just, hey, it's tough luck and take the money that you can get?
Well, several things. You're right. I mean, Tony Pollard, I mean, he had that injury, horrific injury, and I was happy that he got franchised because Dallas is going to pay him now, you know, eventually. And that was some protection there for Tony Pollard. But, okay, Josh Jacobs, AP all-pro player right there.
Yep.
And then you got Saquon Barkley, who is an amazing, amazing player. But yet they're capped off. I mean, I think Saquon's mad, and I would be too, the fact that they franchise-tagged him and not D. Jones, and they knew they were going to get a deal done with Daniel Jones. There was no market for Daniel Jones. But
thank
there is
you.
A market. Yeah, there is a market for Saquon if he would have been a free agent. But he did not get that chance, like you said. So I think – there's several layers to it. Like, if we go back to the 90s, and like you mentioned, our age, and certainly guys I played against and with, I mean, you wouldn't think of those best running backs of the 90s talking about Terrell Davis, you know,
right.
Barry. You know, they're not running into those issues, right? Emmitt, you know, Emmitt had to yep. do what he had to do, but he got a contract. Thurman, you know, Marshall, and all these guys. I mean, they didn't really have to worry about that stuff. The teams were going to keep them for one, and the teams were going to be right by them by keeping them. But now, you know, this notion that running backs get hurt or running backs, the wear and tear on their body, and I understand it. I was a former running back myself, but I'll throw out a comparison to you. It's all about commitment. Think about this guy who just got hurt, banged up, actually missed half the year, got a big contract, was an awesome, awesome player for a Super Bowl winning team. But throughout his history on that team, he'd been injury prone. And that's Cooper Kupp, right?
Yeah.
What did the Rams just do for Cooper Kupp? They just restructured his contract
yeah.
so they can make salary cap room, right? But now you got Dalvin Cook, who very productive, had a phenomenal year last year. But for whatever reason, they don't want to restructure. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to have a commitment towards Dalvin Cook as a running back, right? Cooper Kupp is 29. Dalvin Cook is just 27. Mm. So you can't tell me that it's about the wear and tear of that position. It's all about commitment, right? And I think for Dalvin Cook and for Saquon Barkley, for Josh Jacobs and all these guys, You got to find out if those teams are committed to you. And I applaud them. I applaud the stance that Saquon's taken and all these guys. Said, look, you guys got to make a commitment. You're going to make a commitment with this franchise tag. Well, make a commitment as well with a contract. And don't worry about the wear and tear of this position. I'll make sure I'm in shape, and I'll make sure I'll show up and play that position to the best of my ability. Saquon Barkley touched the ball 352 times. He
yep.
touched it, not even targets, right?
Yep.
That's second next to Daniel Jones, and that's the second, that's the most important player on offense. We get it. And so if Saquon Barkley is touching the ball that many more times, then, okay, wait a minute, you got to say that he's an important player for your franchise as well.
Yeah, but my only thing, and I'm going to blame the football players and the union for agreeing to these things that are that the owners can use against the players. You talk about the owners making a commitment. When are the players going to make a commitment to each other to secure that they have good health care and a good pension plan and they don't have CBA rules that work against them and don't allow them to earn money when they're good and healthy? That's the disappointment. I'm not disappointed in the owners. If I was an owner and
right.
the union allowed me to mistreat people and not do right by them, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up an excellent point, Rob. I mean, I think – so when I got into the league, free agency was coming on board, right? And we were a PA. You know, they called themselves a PA. They broke the union. We broke the union. We had to pay our own dues and raise our own money. That's why we had all these football cards and posters and all this stuff. But back then, we were united. I mean, Gene Upshaw did a great job explaining everything, what was going on with the owners. And we really felt – united as players, and we got to free agency. We finally got to a situation where we can elevate the dollars, revenue sharing, and all of that. I mean, I know the players now in a new CBA, they have increased the revenue sharing, which is outstanding. And you're talking about almost $25 billion a year for the NFL. And for the players to capture 49% of that, that's outstanding, I think, right? But you're right. And in terms of not being franchise tagged twice, or in terms of you know, teams really locking you up if you're a first rounder, and you're not going to see free agency ever, perhaps, if you're a running back. Yeah, I mean, those things have to change. You're right. I mean, I would rather be drafted in the second round if I'm a running back, so I could get the free agency as long as I exceed my contract and I'm balling and I'm all pro, rookie of the year, and all those things like these great players are. So being a first rounder, you know, Bijan Robinson, you know, players like that, you know, guys, I think running backs are going to have to understand that with this current CBA, that it's going to be difficult to get to that free agency. Maybe before you get to free agency that final year, you try to go upstairs and pound on that door and say, let's get a deal done.
All right, Mike Pritchard, great stuff, man.
Thanks,
we appreciate you.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions and what may have occurred in the dugout maybe in the 1980s.
It's the Book of Joe podcast. I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah, well, there are no boundaries, right? Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Foul or Fair with J.R. Gamble.
That ball is...
it was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com. Here's J.R. Gamble.
That's right. It's time for Foul or Fair here on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. And of course, like we do every week, we're going to bring in MLB Bros J.R. Gamble to help us go around the diamond with all the biggest stories out of baseball.
What up?
Yes, sir. What's up, fellas? I'm back again. While all the GOAT tandems of sports talk are breaking up, I'm here with the longest running, the Nikolai Jokic, Jamal Murray of the game, and Rob Parker and Chris Broussard.
Who else broke up? We got breaking news? Did other people break up? Oh,
the Fat Boys, Kipson, Shannon, Amigos.
Yes. Okay. We're not breaking up yet. We're just getting started. Year six starts in September.
The Beatles, Pointer Sisters, the Supremes.
Yes. Everybody broke up. You're right. Lionel Richie and the Commodores, right?
But not the Odd Couple. Not the Odd Couple.
No, we are not breaking up. We got a long way to go.
Right. Chris got to get me to retirement. We got a long way to go.
All right. Let's get it going.
Crying. Don't be all crying when you break up either, please.
No.
All right, guys. On the same day that the Nevada State Senate voted to approve $380 million in public funds to build a ballpark to lure the A's to Las Vegas, fans in Oakland held a reverse boycott, drawing over 27,000 fans. I believe that's triple their average attendance this year, and giving away 7,000 green shirts with "sell" embroidered on the front. Foul or fair to say that the Athletics are as good as gone from Oakland?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
They were as good as gone. The first time they told us they were as good as gone a couple of years back. So when so many people made attempts and did backflips trying to figure out ways to keep the team in Oakland, so it won't go the way of the Warriors and the Raiders. But as we see, the law of Vegas is strong, fellas. The franchise and ownership wants to leave. The fans aren't showing up to the ballpark. Could care less about the miserable product they've had on the field. So, unfortunately, you know, aside from history, there's no reason to keep the team in Oakland.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
It's a fair ball.
Yes, sir.
The economics, they can't get the stadium built. Oakland was once, Chris, we talked about city size, was once a major metropolitan with a newspaper, its own newspaper, the Oakland Tribune, owned by a black man. I mean, it was like that city was thriving. And it's just not that anymore. And unfortunately, it's going to cost them their last major league team. I just don't see how they stay.
Yeah, it's a trifecta. That's fair.
It's a fair ball.
They're gone. All right. And 27,000 fans, God bless them. But that's not going to change anything.
All right.
Not much left to say, Bo.
Yeah, pretty much. It's unfortunate. Entering Wednesday's action, the New York Mets and San Diego Padres both sit below the 500 mark, having played uninspired baseball for most of the season, despite spending a lot of money in the offseason. Foul or fair to say that these are the two most disappointing teams in baseball this year?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
I mean, if you believe what you see on paper, I can't be crazy now, but I always said the Mets were crazy, if you rewind the tape, to give two aging workhorse pitchers all of that money and expect them to be able to lead your staff. Even worse than that move was letting two young workhorses in Marcus Stroman and Taijuan Walker just bounce with no compensation. Could really use those guys right now. The Lindor move's proven to be terrible, as he's serviceable, but not a superstar, not the superstar they paid for. And, you know, flashes cash, the Mets flash cash, but in the wrong places. San Diego, so putting a lot of bats together, they could slug their way to the top. The pitch has been decent, but they didn't count on a down year from Soto, and they didn't know what they were going to get from the other guys. So, sure, both those teams have been a huge disappointment.
There's no doubt about it. That's fair.
It's a fair ball.
I told y'all last week the Marlins, I think, are going to finish better than the Mets, and y'all laughed at me. You mocked me. You ridiculed me. You scorned me. And here Miami sits 5.5 games ahead of the New York Mets. Yeah, we thought we were going to get big. We thought we were in store for big things from the Mets, And here we are, and they're almost at the bottom of the division. It's a travesty.
I'll say it's fair.
It's a fair ball.
But I disagree with you guys. I'm saying right here, right now, Bo, you got the tape rolling right here, right now. The
yes.
Mets and the Padres will both, B-O-F, both make the postseason. Okay?
No way, me? No how.
They're both going to make it. And the same way people wrote off the Phillies, baseball is a long season. Those two teams are very, very talented and will get it together. And you'll go back and go, well, it was early and it didn't look like they were going to get together. Watch and see. They will get it together.
Yeah, I think we can throw the Cardinals on that list, too. They are they are bad.
Yeah, throw them on there.
Yeah, so last one here, guys. The Los Angeles Angels have won 8 of their last 10 games, including 2 straight wins over the division-leading Texas Rangers. But is it foul or fair to say that regardless of their playoff positioning, the team should look to move Shohei Ohtani at the trade deadline?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
Ohtani is, I mean, they've won some games in a row. They're looking better than they have in a while. But Ohtani, all the team has gone for it right now. Mike Trout can't win alone. That's been proven. He's a bit banged up from the load he's carried all these years. If they do trade Ohtani, it has to be for, the Hall of Halls, you would think. A couple of frontline starters, a starting caliber position player. Not sure who has all of that to give for Ohtani, so I seriously doubt he could be moved by the trade deadline because he comes with a huge price tag, fellas, and he doesn't guarantee you a championship despite his rare talents. He will attract more fans, though, but I would keep him.
I say it is fair.
It's a fair ball.
And once I would make him an offer. Hey, here's $500, $600 million. Are you signing? You don't need to wait till the end of the year to make this decision. Here's the money. Here's the deal. Are you signing or not? And if he turns it down, the same way that Soto turned down $440 million from the Nationals, I'm sure he wished he would have taken it now, Soto, yeah. And then he was traded immediately. Once the guy tells you he's not going to take your money, you got to move him and get whatever you can get for him.
Yeah, I think it's fair as well.
It's a fair ball.
And I mean, my logic, I get where both of you are coming from. I'd love to keep him if I'm the Angels, and that's my number one goal, so I don't want to trade him. But they got to find out or unless you lose him for nothing.
Right.
I got to find out, are you staying? And the best way to find that out is to make him a huge offer. And if he rejects it, then you got to trade him. You can, like you said, you can get a haul for him. I mean, personally, I love to see him in New York. You guys know that.
Yep.
But if I'm from the Angels' perspective, I do have to look to trade him just because. Now, look, if he signs, I'm overjoyed, and I get to keep him.
And
but
Chris, here's the other part, the little nugget, the last thing, is not only could he wind up just leaving you, he could wind up going and playing for the Dodgers and rub it in your face in the same market.
Yep. Absolutely.
Like, that's what could happen to
you. You know, they would be smart to go for him, too.
Yep.
Yeah, well, they have their time with Ohtani and Trout at, you know, discount value. They're not going to be able to keep them both at those prices. So.
Right.
All right. All right. J.R. Gamble, MLBBro.com. Thank you, brother.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.